I'm going to preach to you something tonight that's very important. Some of us think the decisions that we make have no effect on other people. Some of us think we can make a decision in life and it doesn't affect anyone else. We can do what we want to do and everything will be just fine. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 1, "And it came to pass when Samuel was," what? "Old. That he made his sons," what? "Over," what? Please use your Bible. Please use your Bible. "Now the name of his firstborn was," what? "The name of his second," what? "They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his," what? "Ways." There's something very important there. His sons walked not in his ways. The way a young person starts to mess up is when they do not walk in the ways that have been set before them. Parkside Baptist Church is not a bad church. Parkside Baptist Church, ever since it was founded, has continued to do right. There have been people that have even left our church that badmouth the church and, you know, say different things about our preacher, which honestly, they're going to get themselves, they cannot grow like they need to grow. They cannot be blessed like God wants to bless them and criticize the man of God. That will never happen. That will never happen. I disagree with some men of God, but you will never catch me saying that. You'll never catch me talking about that man of God and saying, "Hey, you know, I don't think they should do that." You know, there are some things I disagree with on our and what our president says. But guess what? He's our president. You're not going to catch me walking up to you and talking bad about our president. We had Bible Blazers, and one of the young ladies came up to me and said, "Brother Jonathan, do I really have to pray for our president? Because I don't like him." I said, "Yes, you need to pray for our president." But she didn't want to pray for our president because she didn't like him. Now, how in the world did a little girl get that in her mind? How in the world did the little girl come to dislike a man she's never even met? Because somebody talked bad about him in front of her. You've got to be very careful. They started to walk in their own ways. Let's keep reading. Verse 3, "And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes, and perverted judgment." So here's what they did. These were the preacher's kids. These were Samuel's boys. Can you imagine Brother Josh and me and Brother Jared just walking around taking bribes and going, "Yeah, we'll pray to God for you. Come on, give me some money. Come on, give me some money. Hey, we'll make sure, you know, that God hears your prayers and answers your prayers. You know, we'll say, we understand that's not the best lamb, but it's okay. You give us a little extra money and we'll sacrifice that lamb for you instead." That's what they were doing. That's what they were doing. They were perverting judgment. Look at verse 4. What's the first word? "Then." What caused the next part of this chapter? When the young men decided not to walk in the old ways, they decided to walk in a new way. You think your decisions don't matter much. I've got news for you. They matter a lot. You think a decision you make for Christ, it doesn't matter much. I've got news for you. It matters a lot. You think a decision you make, it may be a wrong decision. And you think it doesn't make a big difference. I've got news for you this evening. It makes a huge difference. It makes a huge difference. I've made decisions in my life that have been bad. Guess what? It's damaged and it has hurt. And I've had to try and come back from bad decisions that I've made. And guess what? I don't want to go back and make those bad decisions again. You kidding me? I don't want to do wrong again. The trouble with a lot of young people is they make a bad decision and they think, "Oh, well, I've already made the bad decision. I'll just keep on making more bad decisions." That's wrong. The Bible says, "Cease to do evil. Take hold of that which is good." You're supposed to stop doing wrong. What happened? After they made a decision not to walk in the ways of the old paths, in the old ways, verse 4, the first word, "then." Let's keep reading. "Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons, they are using an excuse. Thy sons, they are throwing up an excuse to the preacher. Thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us. Say the rest of the verse with me. Like all the nations. What started Israel having a king? When two young people decided not to walk in the old ways. When they decided not to walk in the old ways, then the people of Israel came to Samuel and said, Hey, look, you're old. Your boys, they're not doing what they should be doing. So what we want you to do now is make us a king so that we can be like all the other nations. So that we can be like all the other people. I've got news for you, young people. We're not supposed to be like all the other churches. And we're not supposed to be like all the other nations. And we're not supposed to be like the person down the street. The Bible says we're supposed to be different. We're supposed to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. You're supposed to be different. Your dress styles are supposed to be different. Your hairstyle is supposed to be different. And I don't mean purple and blue and spiked up in the air. I'm talking it's supposed to be different from the world. It's supposed to be different. What caused the nation of Israel to want to be like all the other nations? When two young people decided not to walk in the old ways. The moment you decide to stop reading your Bible is the moment you influence the rest of the teenagers. It's the moment you influence the children's department. It's the moment you influence other people. Hey, the moment you stop singing when it's time to sing the congregational singing and you sit there with your arms folded and you don't even pay attention, it's the moment you have made a decision not to walk in the old paths and you think, oh, it's not dangerous. Oh, it's okay. But I've got news for you. It's very dangerous. It's very dangerous if you decide not to walk in the old paths, because when you decide not to walk in the old way, you are influencing everybody else to do something else. I had a young man come to my office, and he was crying, and he said, Brother Jonathan, I just don't care about anything anymore. I just don't care. I just don't care. Why is it that a young man at a Parkside Baptist church where we preach the word of God, where we go soul winning, where parents love them, where you know what's right and you know what's wrong, how is it that a young man could just not care anymore? Because he saw some other teenagers who didn't care and kept doing wrong. You think your decisions don't make a difference. Your decisions do make a difference. Your decisions do make a difference. And you say, I know what Brother Jonathan has told me, but I want to do what I want to do anyways. I want to do what I want to do anyways. I know what my mom and dad have told me, but you see, I've got my own ways. No, what you're deciding to do, you're not walking in the old ways. And the moment you veer from that is the moment somebody looks at you, uses you as an excuse, and drops out of church because of you. Because of you. This isn't a message just to an 11th and 12th grader. I've got news for you. Every one of us, if we make a wrong decision, can influence the entire church. These two young men influenced the entire nation of Israel. Look down in verse 6. But the thing displeased who? Samuel. When they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, what's the next word? Hearken. God looked at Samuel and said, listen to him. Listen to him. Hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected, say it, me, that I should not reign over them. You know how I can get along just fine if a teenager doesn't do what I tell them to do? I've seen the inroad. I've seen the direction you're going and the direction you're headed. I know it's not good. So if I come to you and I get on to you and I say, hey, you don't need to do that, and you don't listen to me, I understand you're not rejecting me, but you're actually rejecting God. Because God has laid it on my heart to come to you and say, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. You think I want to come to you and say, don't do that because I hate you? You think I come to you and say, don't do that because I want you to have a miserable life? Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, for real. I want you to have a miserable life the rest of your life so I get on to you. That's not why. I'm warning you. I'm trying to help you. Look down at verse 8. according to all the works that they have done since the day that I brought them out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Verse 9, now therefore, hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest, what's the next word? Solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of king that shall reign over them. Here's the preacher. God looks at the preacher. These people, the people of Israel, they're making a bad choice based on the decision of two young people. They want to be like all the other nations because of the decision of two young people. So here's what God tells Samuel. Samuel, go to him and protest solemnly. He says, I want you to go to him. I want you to meet with him and tell him the direction you're headed is not good. The direction you're headed is not good. Then he said, I want you to explain to them, show them the kind of king they're going to have. Show them the end result of their decision. What happens when your preacher gets up and he says, hey, you shouldn't do this. Hey, you shouldn't go there. What is he doing? He's protesting to you. He's making a protest to you saying, don't do that. If you go this way, you know what's going to happen? This is going to happen. He's protesting to you solemnly. Here's something very sad. Look down in verse 19. Samuel preached to them. He told them what was going to happen. Read the first word of 19. Say it together. Nevertheless. You mean to tell me he was preaching to them and telling them what was going to happen and they decided not to do it? Yeah. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of who? Samuel. It doesn't say God, it says the preacher. They refused to obey the voice of the preacher, the one that God had placed over them, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we may also be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. Here's what happened. God let them have a king. Why? Because he knew they weren't going to be happy until they got their way. Their way. You know, sometimes God will give you something and he doesn't want you to have it. But because you kept asking and because he said, if you ask, I will give it, he finally gives it to you. But really, you should have been praying and saying, God, not my will, but thine be done. You should have been praying and saying, God, what do you have for me? God, what do you want for me? But instead, no, this is what you're praying. God, I wish this would happen. God, if you were real, this would happen. God, if you really love me, you'd let me move here. God, if you really love me, you'd let me go here. God, if you really love me, I'd have them for parents. What are you doing? You're trying to change the will of God for your life. And now what happens? You end up destroyed. You say, my decisions don't matter. Your decisions do matter. The choices you make matter. They matter. Every time you decide to do wrong, you are hurting someone else. You say, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Even something as little as Brother Jonathan saying, hey, we're going to sing I'll Fly Away. Everybody stand up and do I'll Fly Away. And you sit there and don't do anything. Something as little as that. You don't realize how many people are watching you. And in their mind, they're thinking, well, I look up to that person. So if they're not doing it, then it must not be important. Then before you know it, it trickles down. And they say, oh, we don't need to do it because Brother Jonathan told us to. We don't need to listen to him. Then before you know it, it gets even bigger. And they say, well, preacher doesn't really know everything he's talking about either. Then before you know it, it gets even bigger. Well, my mom and dad aren't too smart either. Then before you know it, it gets even bigger. Well, the policemen, they really don't know what they're talking about. Then before you know it, it gets even bigger. Well, my boss, he really doesn't know what he's talking about. And then you end up flat on your face, fired from your job. You end up in a jail cell one day. Why? It all started where you didn't have your heart right with God. All from not participating, simply doing what you wanted to do. Your decisions impact the decision of everybody else, whether you believe it or not. When did the people of Israel want a king? After the two young men decided not to walk in the old ways. Let's get back to doing right just because we love God. Let's get back to doing right, not because somebody else tells us to, but because we have a heart for God. Let's get back to doing right, not because Brother Jonathan asks you to, even though I'll keep on asking you, and even though I'll keep on bugging you, and even though I'll keep on sending texts saying I'm praying for you, even though I keep on reaching out, and you know I love you, and you know I care about you. It doesn't matter. You do right because God wants you to, not because somebody makes you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.